Hello, and welcome to the Clinical Care Options Oncology Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Quill. Today's episode features Dr. Sarah Tinsley, Courtesy Assistant Professor in the Department of Malignant Hematology at the Moffitt Cancer Center in Tampa, Florida. She will be discussing management strategies for secondary AML and novel therapies currently being investigated in clinical trials for AML. This episode is part of a larger educational program titled NED Talk 2021. Nurses discuss current and emerging management strategies in AML. For more information on Dr. Tinsley, along with a link to the complete program, including a downloadable PDF covering the topics discussed in this podcast, please visit the show notes for this episode. Now let's get started and hear what Dr. Tinsley has to say.
I'm going to talk about secondary AML and novel therapies for AML or your relapsed refractory AML patients. There's no standard of care. So you would want to refer them for a clinical trial or a hypomethylating agent, low-dose ARC or venetoclax, plus or minus HMA. Secondary AML, we have CPX-351 that was FDA approved specifically for secondary AML. This is a liposomal cytarabine and daunorubicin that's in a 5-to-1 molar ratio of the cytarabine to the daunorubicin. In the humans, you have that preserved delivery of the 5-to-1 drug ratio for more than 24 hours. So it sticks around to do its job and keep killing those leukemia cells. And that drug exposure is maintained for 7 days. And the other thing that's pretty cool about it is there's selective uptake of the liposomes by those bone marrow leukemia cells in xenograft models. You're hitting your target and you're staying on your target, which is what you want. CPX-351 was compared to conventional chemotherapy in older patients with newly diagnosed therapy-related AML or secondary AML. It was a multicenter open-label randomized phase 3 trial. You'll see on the left, treatment naive patients, 67 to 75 years of age, therapy-related AML, that means an AML that is from a prior chemotherapy or radiation therapy, or secondary AML. We usually think of those patients as they had myelodysplastic syndrome first, or a myeloproliferative neoplasm, and then progressed to AML. And they had to be able to tolerate intensive chemotherapy. That means their ECOG performance status had to be 0 to 2. Induction with CPX-351 is 44 milligrams per meter squared of daunorubicin. And the cytarabine liposome is 100 milligrams per meter squared. It's given on days 1, 3, and 5 compared to 7+3, which you know is 7 days of cytarabine and 3 days of daunorubicin. Subsequent induction is an option if they don't go right into remission, and then consolidation. It did have an overall survival advantage, and this is the 5-year median overall survival. And you can see these curves separating with the blue indicating CPX-351 with a median overall survival of 9.33 months, and then your 7+3 group having a 5.95. So it was superior, and that's why it's FDA approved for that secondary and therapy-related AMLs. Now let's talk about immunotherapeutic principles and a potential paradigm shift in our treatment and management of AML patients. This is showing you T-cell directed therapy for AML. We're targeting these antigens, CD123, CD33, and this is a bispecific antibody engaging both the leukemia cell and the T cell. So there's two, it's a two-pronged action bispecific antibody, and that T cell receptor region is involved. And then you have CAR T, it's a genetically modified T cell. Again, your immune system is going after those AML cells through T cells, and they engage that immune system. And so the type of symptoms or adverse events that you see are activation of the immune system. This is a phase one study, so first in humans, looking at CD33. It's a bispecific antibody, AMG-330. This was a dose escalation study. They're looking for what is the right dose and what are the toxicities. In this group, there were 60. You had 8 respondents, 3 patients with a CR, for those of you that are opposed to phase one studies. It does make a difference for some patients. 4 CRIs, 1 morphologic leukemia-free state in cohort 2, and 3 of 14 patients in cohorts 15 through 17. They found that minimal effective dose, 120 per day, per 7 patients with a CR/CRI. There were responses observed after 1 cycle and sustained for a medium of 38.5 days. And 1 patient with a CRI in cohort 15 that was bridged to an allogeneic stem cell transplant. This has a very short half-life, and so it has to be given as a continuous infusion, which can cause some challenges with treating patients. Lotatuzumab is engaging CD123 and CD3, which is the T cell part. And then this is a bispecific molecule, again, co-engaging the T cells with a tumor-associated antigen. That's your CD123. This CD123 has a low affinity receptor for IL-3. It's present on basophils, monocytes, hematopoietic progenitor cells, and your plasmacytoid dendritic cells. There's some challenges, I think, for detecting the CD123. It is overexpressed on leukemic stem cells, including AML, and the flotetuzumab is engineered to redirect those T cells to kill the tumor cells, regardless of the T cell receptor. Another antibody to keep on your radar. This is looking at flotetuzumab efficacy, and more than 1/2 of the evaluable patients had a reduction in their blast count, and the median time to first response was 0.84 months. There were CR rate, you see 12. Primary induction failure, you have 16 out of the 30. We'll make it to the market. We'll have to see with bigger studies. The lotatuzumab duration of response was 8.1 months. Of those responders, lotatuzumab really had the best response in the primary induction failure, which is usually a really difficult group to treat. That was 15.2 months. The median overall survival with the flotetuzumab was 10.7 months. Again, the primary induction failure group responded better with 15.9 months overall survival compared to the early relapse at 5 months. So really a difficult group to treat, that it's showing some responses. Now let's talk about autologous versus allogeneic CAR T cells for AML. For autologous, you have the patient that you use, that's autologous. And for allogeneic CAR T, you use a healthy donor. The autologous CAR T is really complex logistically, and allogeneic CAR T is scaled up industrial process that's moderate in price, whereas the cost of autologous CAR T is high. The targeted antigens, CD33, CD123, CLL1 and NKG2D for your autologous CAR Ts. And for your allogeneic, again, you have the CD123 and CD33 and CLL1. So things to look for and learn about. And then looking at the targets for immune checkpoints in AML, what is really cool to me is that there are multiple targets, and some of that antibodies that are under clinical investigation is nivolumab, which is anti-PD-1, ipilimumab, anti-CTLA-4, magrolimab, the one I was excited about, is the anti-CD47, and the sabatolimab is an anti-TIM-3. This is also interesting to me that our hypomethylating agents upregulate the expression of PD-1, PD-L1, and to a lesser extent, CTLA. So we really do want to get our immune system to go after our leukemia cells. And looking at overall survival of nivolumab and azacitidine versus historical HMA regimens, this was a study performed at MD Anderson Cancer Center. And I wanted to draw your attention to the difference in the overall survival with nivolumab and azacitidine is superior to HMA regimens. And the study included some difficult to treat AML subgroups, such as secondary AML, 42%, and those with adverse cytogenetics, which is 35%. Very exciting to continue to watch this. And then ipilimumab and decitabine in relapsed or refractory secondary AML, looking at safety, the dose-limiting toxicity was at 10 milligrams per kilogram. Ipilimumab and decitabine in relapsed or secondary AML, the efficacy, median follow-up of 5.2 months. Patients who did not have a transplant having the better response at 56% marrow CR, and those with a prior transplant having a 19% CR rate. Migrolimab induces macrophage phagocytosis. You have a healthy cell that has a CD47. It's the don't eat me signal. And when the migrolimab binds to it, you take off that don't eat me signal, and then the macrophage is able to engulf the leukemia cell. We've treated several patients. Migrolimab and azacitidine in untreated AML, TP53 mutant AML is an ugly group that has inferior survivals, even with transplant. And in this group, they had an overall response rate of 69%, which is better than the all AML patients. This is our preferred way of treating TP53 mutant AML. You can see also durations of responses, a 9.6 months for all AML patients and 7.6 for TP53 mutant. You also had some complete cytogenetic responses about equal between all and TP53 mutant. So 9.6% of these patients were able to proceed to bone marrow transplant. Many of them were able to become red blood cell transfusion independent, 68% in AML and 63% in TP53 mutant. And for many patients, their response deepened over time for several months. Regardless of their TP53 mutation status, the majority of patients had a reduction in their percentage of blasts. This is untreated AML preliminary overall survival for TP53 wild type. Wild type means they do not have a TP53 mutation, the median overall survival of 18.9 months, whereas your TP53 mutants, which there was a higher number of patients, 47, and their median overall survival is 12.9 months. So this is really encouraging, and this has moved to the ENHANCE 2 phase 3 trial of migrolimab plus azacitidine versus venetoclax azacitidine versus intensive chemotherapy. And this is for newly diagnosed TP53 mutant AML. So really exciting to look forward to the results of this phase 3 clinical trial. These are other target agents targeting the CD47. You can see there's more than one in development. Sabatolimab targets TIM-3 on both the immune and leukemic cells. This is a multi-center dose escalation phase 1b trial looking at sabatolimab and decitabine or azacitidine. We're looking at newly diagnosed or relapsed refractory, looking at safety and tolerability. That's what we see with phase 1 trials. And secondary endpoints, pharmacokinetics and efficacy, 240 or 400 milligrams Q2 weeks on days 8, 22, or 800 milligrams every 4 weeks on days 8, with an overall response rate of 47% with sabatolimab and decitabine, and less of a response with sabatolimab and azacitidine. So another monoclonal antibody to look forward to.
Thank you very much, Dr. Tinsley. And thanks to you, the listeners, for joining us. As a reminder, to view the full program, NEDTalk 2021, Nurses Discuss Current and Emerging Management Strategies in AML, and to download the associated PDF from the Clinical Care Options website, please click on the link in the show notes. As always, thanks for listening.